I want to greet each one in Christ's name this morning. And the church is not as full as we are used to, but it's still nice to see everyone here. I want to welcome visitors too. I see Carl and June are back there. Happy to have you with us since Sunday. And I know that's a big thing for you guys to be here, and we're happy to have you with us. Happy to, with what's been shared already this morning, too, in the Sunday school and also with devotions, and possibly goes a little bit with what I want to share. And also, I was thinking of Ken Schrock just prayed, and he prayed for the brotherhood, and I want to speak a little bit about the brotherhood this morning, and it just stood out to me as he prayed for that because I'm planning on speaking a little bit about that. The title of my message in some ways is I Will Build My Church, and these are words of Jesus. Jesus said these words, and the reason that my mind sort of originally went this way was I read a book by Val Yoder, wrote a book some years ago, and that's the title of the book, I Will Build My Church. And it's a very interesting book. It's not like a storybook. It's very hard to read, but it's got very many good points in it. In Matthew 16, Jesus said, actually, I'm going to read the verses that go with that. In verse 16, in chapter 16 of Matthew, you don't need to turn there. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And I don't think Jesus is saying that he's going to build his church upon the Apostle Peter. I think he's saying he's going to build his church off of that rock. Peter's name meant stone. He's going to build off of that rock, and that rock, I think he was inferring to him, he himself, Jesus, being the chief cornerstone. And then in those verse 18 and 19, he brings out the point where I think it really brings out the point of brotherhood. Jesus puts a lot of emphasis on us as people, relationships within the church, the brotherhood. And that really brings honor and glory to him. In Ephesians it says, to back it up a little more, Ephesians 2, verse 20, it said, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And then I want to add this verse to it yet and sort of bring all these together. In Psalms it says, 127 verse 1, it says, Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but not in vain. And so I'd like to sort of bring all that together a little bit today. You know, I want us to think about the church being Christ's church and how we can be a part of Christ's church and balance out the difference between us as members of Christ's church and the church being our personal church. I also would like us to think about the thought that except the Lord build the house, we labor in vain. This is God's church, and we are members of God's church right here in Bonner's Ferry. And, you know, God will make the work here in Bonner's Ferry work contingent on how we respond in labor. He can use us, or he can use any Christian who labors and obeys him in the work of the church, anywhere the church is located. And I do not believe that the church in Bonner's Ferry is contingent on us alone. I don't think it all revolves around just us. But I'm saying that what revolves around us here is how effective we are, more or less, depending on how we respond in labor in God's universal church, or the big picture. You know, it is true that the work of God will go on with or without us, as it says in there, I will build my church, Jesus said this, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So that gives you the feeling or the thinking that the church of Christ will move on, with or without us. But I believe that what's really true, that we are, it's important how we respond to it. It's important how we, what we do here. It's very important. It, even though it might go on without us, we are needed. And as a brotherhood, we are needed. We are, God wants to use us here, our local church, to further his kingdom in this area, in this community, in this part of the world. So if you can try to remember these thoughts as I continue sharing, I'm going to go off on a little different trail that doesn't quite seem to be attached possibly right now. But maybe it will help us to see how my mind got started down these thinking this way. I think of the churches that we know closely, the church in Chile, church in Newport, the church in Batry, Alberta, the churches in Great Falls, Montana, in Thompson Falls, and there are others, but I think first of all those churches, because we have people that we know in those churches, we have people that we are related to, closely attached to in all of those churches. We have family. We have a relationship with all of those people, and I know that each group of people has its own set of struggles that they need to work through. And as I come back here to Bonner's Ferry, and we look at our church, we look at us, I know that, and you know too, that we're not perfect. We have our problems too. We're sad that Josh and Jesse are moving on with their lives outside of our local church. And we see how it changes our dynamics of our group. It shakes us up, which in some ways I think can be good to be shook up, just as long as we keep our eyes on Jesus. So where am I going with this? And maybe this can, I just was hoping that this can help us to see that several things by putting this all together. The one thing that, first thing I would like us to remember or think about is, you know, the Church of Jesus is made up of different people, but more importantly, of relationships with those people, brotherhood, relationships with all of those people. And number two, we can also see that it takes much organization and instruction to keep those relationships and groups functioning properly. And then number three, it also takes brotherhood to keep us spiritual and to keep us alive in Christ. And I know that brotherhood many times is used to support the organization. And I think brotherhood can be oil for the organization. But I think brotherhood is actually more of a key to keep us spiritual and alive in Christ. And so this morning, I want to challenge us about being more of a brotherhood. You know, I spent one whole day, just Jeff and I, we did work and we did this and that. and we talked about the church in Chile. We talked about church here and a little bit. Anyhow, he sort of accused me personally a little bit about, or as it relates to our church here, that maybe we're not as close as a brotherhood as we used to be. And, you know, I thought of that, and I didn't really think that he was accurate. And we discussed it a while, and I thought, well, I'm not sure that he really actually knows. And then I didn't go there anymore. But at the same time, I have been reading this book that I talked about, I Will Build My Church. And Val really spoke about it in there, about the brotherhood. And I recognize that the brotherhood is really something special, and that there's a lot hanging on the church's temperature around the brotherhood. And he explained it this way, or he had a lot of different thoughts, but, you know, many churches have leadership and the brotherhood upside down. And he said that the Anabaptist people have it right when they are functioning in that right way. And the way he explained it is that you have God as the head and the church as the people, the brotherhood, as they're right there. And then the leadership is involved with them, except they're actually below that. They're the servant. And so the leadership does not lose its authority in being a servant, but they are, the emphasis is on the brotherhood. And you go back in church history and you recognize that the early church put a lot of emphasis on the brotherhood. And, you know, the leadership is not what makes it happen. It's the brotherhood that keeps the church spiritual and alive. And that was more his thoughts. And I really looked at that. And then recently, since I got home, we got this little, maybe some of you received it too. It's a little quarterly thing or something that they're thinking about putting out. I'm not sure who's all writing it. I didn't research it properly, but it says the Anabaptist way. And there was an article in there that talked about the Brotherhood Bell. And it went into early church history about how the Brotherhood looked at things and the closeness that was involved with Brotherhood. And it just inspired me to, you know, I looked at my own life and I can see that Jeff actually might have a point, as I see it in my own life anyhow. And I think I have room to grow. But I don't want to accuse us this morning. I'm hoping to inspire you that to look at our lives to see how we can grow in our brotherhood here in our local church. I believe we need a very good presence of brotherhood among our churches to be able to sustain our organization and also to be able to keep us spiritually alive as a church. I feel that all of the churches that I have included in this what I talked earlier, I believe all these churches are struggling with a possibility of an imbalance. We're either putting too much emphasis on practice without brotherhood spirit, or we're putting too much emphasis on no practice without brotherhood spirit. See, we're off on both spectrums, but the problem is both of them are missing the brotherhood having enough emphasis on brotherhood working together, caring for one another. And I feel that the ingredient that we need to have to keep our organizations together while being spiritually alive is having more of a friendship attitude and care for one another. And I'm not saying that accusingly. I see that in my life. When I first heard that, I thought, I don't think that's true. But as I looked at my life, I can see that I have done some of that. And then I want to remind us of the verse in Psalm. It says, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. And, you know, my concern this morning is that we don't lack too much in brotherhood attitude by thinking too much of our organization and too much of our way of doing things that that I feel that we will, you know, I think that we put brotherhood as low key in organization too high. I think that's what has destroyed many Christian groups. And it isn't what Jesus had in mind when he wrote in this verse that I'll build my church. And he talked about how he's going to give the keys to these people. I think he was speaking about the brotherhood. He wasn't speaking about organization being the top thing that we work with. He was talking about us as a brotherhood working together and in caring for one another as we work together to help our organization. I'm not proposing that we let our way of doing things slide over, say, we just love each other by keeping the brotherhood spirit. I mean, I could see why it would sound like I am saying that. But I want to caution us to be careful about this in our church, because it happens to many local churches where they become an organization that is void of brotherhood. And John 13, verse 35, it says that our love for one another proves to the world that you are my disciples. That's the proof. The way our brotherhood work together, care for each other, support each other, and help each other out of trouble, help the erring come together, how we do that as a brotherhood. So again, I want to clarify that I'm not advocating getting rid of traditions that sometimes cause us friction or cause us to just go find another group that agrees with us. You know, we choose not to get close to a brother that is stuck on being a certain way or a change of procedure, you know, can really destroy our whole attitude. I just want to encourage us to show love to each other and kindly help each other out with our differences, because we have them. I would say if I look out there at everybody right now, there's probably no one that exactly agrees with what I think. You know, there's something that we don't see quite eye to eye. And that's what the brotherhood is, to help us to work through those things. I believe it is possible to keep the important traditions as we have been taught and as we want to teach if we really care for each other the way that Christ would want us to. You know, if we as a group do not show kindness and love to the brother who is off course in our tradition, that will cause a rift to grow stronger and not less. I feel that I have a tendency personally to sideline people who are not doing things like I would like them to do. And I know I've done that. I sideline them and sort of write them off, so to speak, rather than getting with them as a group, helping them to understand why we do it this way or to be just to get with them, include them part of the group instead of just sidelining them. And I feel that we as a ministry, you know, we try to take care of these things. And it seems to send people away more than bring back. And I'm wondering if we as a whole brotherhood would go and then that would show those people who are in error, who are confused, or who do not understand correctly how we feel about issues. And I know I'm taking some of the responsibility away from leadership, but I think it's very important that the brotherhood becomes more involved with those kinds of things. You know, if the brotherhood becomes more involved with the organizational or the corrective things that go on within a church, it brings the brother, they have to get together on the thing. The brotherhood have to get together in love and unity before they can actually approach an issue. And that's a good thing. That's a really good thing to happen. And I'm afraid that sometimes I have an attitude too much that, you know, I don't need them anyhow. We can go on without them. But a real brotherhood should realize that the whole church is suffering when someone else is straying or in error. And, you know, I think it should cause us as a brotherhood to surround him or her with a clear reason why it's wrong, whatever they are doing, or invite them back. An organization will send in one person advocate to try to convince a person to change, but a brotherhood will send in two or three. And then if we have trouble, we'll get the whole brotherhood to help. An organization will send in the boss to fire a person or to tell them to get it, they get a detention for what they are out of line. A brotherhood will send the brotherhood to help bring back the erring. And the Anabaptist way is to show care and love through the brotherhood to help out with these issues. It isn't supposed to be the pastor who goes and speaks to the brotherhood initially. And I read that in this book I talked about that Val wrote some years ago. He described that very, very clearly too in there, that many of the issues in the church that are causing friction and causing dissension among the brethren is can be overcome if the brotherhood is more involved and included in actually going out and working with those issues. You know, when we as ministers go and take care of all those things, the brotherhood is not involved, our church does become more of an organization, and we lose our spiritual, the brotherhood lose their spiritual awareness of what is really going on in the church. And if we as the brotherhood see a trend that is going on that is not good, you know, the ministers may not be able to correct it. But if it's going to be corrected, the brotherhood coming together in love and unity and agreeing how they can pursue this is going to have a better effect and bring the church together more closely than what we as ministers can do. I believe the minister is, as a servant, lower than the brotherhood in some ways. We can lead and guide, counsel, but the spirit of love coming from the brotherhood is very powerful, and it's more biblical. I also was thinking about the temperature of the church. And, you know, I think that the minister can help adjust the temperature by influence and discernment. But the temperature actually cannot be taken just by the leadership alone. It has to come from the brotherhood to really see what the temperature is. And I'm only saying that to bring out the points. So it's very important that the brotherhood have the conviction and willingness to be involved in the care of sustaining our traditions, but more importantly, that we care for each other properly. You know, the verses I read at the beginning regarding how Christ will build his church and also how God has to build the house if it's going to be anything worthwhile, the more our church becomes an organization and lack in brotherhood attitude, the more we lose effect in the Church of Jesus Christ. What we do in the kingdom of God becomes less effective. unless we allow God to work through us as a brotherhood, our organization loses some of its eternal value, reward. And, you know, I do not think that we as a church are so poor at caring for people. But I'm just wondering if I could encourage us to grow in the area of brotherhood, becoming more unified in helping people adhere to our way. And I do not think that our ministers need to sit back and watch. I don't believe that. But I feel the ministerial team should spend more time encouraging and guiding the brotherhood than being a spokesman for the brotherhood. It's good to remember that, you know, an organization is many times top-heavy with leadership. And I don't believe that we want that here either. We don't want to be top-heavy with leadership. So I hope this morning that the challenge is not too harsh to accept. But if you agree, I hope that we can pray that each can take, you know, individual steps to get involved with more of our brothers and sisters And I'm really speaking to myself on that one. I remember years back when Grandpa Dan would stand up here in his latter days and he'd say, we have to keep our love for each other strong if we want to be useful in the kingdom. And every time that he would get up, he didn't get up often, but every time he'd get up, he couldn't help but go to 1 John and speak about loving each other and caring for each other. And I think that many of us in the last 10, 15 years, I'm not criticizing this, but I can see this a little bit, even in my own life. You know, we got so involved in our work and livelihood that we even quit getting together for prayer meetings the way we did years gone by. And I don't think that was good for the brotherhood. And a few words on a positive aspect of brotherhood that works close together yet. You know, the less we have close brotherhood, I said this already, the more policy in organization it takes to keep our thing going. So the less that we have brotherhood, we have to counteract, to get that thing to steer right, takes a lot more law. A brotherhood who is bound together with love and thinking and care allows the Spirit to work more. And I was thinking about in Acts, you know how the early church seemed like the Holy Spirit was just doing all kinds of powerful things, and we feel like we lack it today. Well, that's the same Holy Spirit that we have today that was back there. That Holy Spirit has not changed. And I just was thinking during Sunday school about this, that we need to, the closer we are together as a brotherhood, the more we're caring for each other, working together as a brotherhood, supporting each other, bound together, the more that allows the Holy Spirit to work through us even more. It makes us alive. It makes us spiritual, a spiritual church. I've noticed too that we go through cycles. The persecuted church, I believe, is a more close brotherhood. Even though they are spread apart, their hearts are closely knit. And hard times seem to bring churches together. Should we pray for hard times so that we can be, you know, drawn together? Maybe not a bad idea. Or can we... this is a question I'm asking myself too. Can we intentionally draw closer together as a brotherhood without hard times, during the good times? I think it's hard, but it's a challenge for us. I think that's what we're facing. I think we need to be honest with ourselves. We have to be intentional. We have to discipline ourselves and work harder to get involved with each other's lives, so we can be a close brotherhood. And then the last thing, as a positive note, the church becomes a well-oiled machine. I don't like to use the word machine because that's not nice enough. But we become, it's a really beautiful thing when the church, the brotherhood, is working together closely and caring for one another in a very special way. And it just makes us, it makes the testimony so much greater. It makes the working together so much nicer. And it's not easy work. I know it's very hard work. It takes a very big commitment on each of our parts to be able to draw close to each other in that manner. But I want to challenge us to do that. I believe that we, even though we might be good at it, and I feel that we are fairly good at it, I think that we can do better, and we do not want to lose out in doing that before the kingdom of God and for our testimony and for our children and for our youth. That is one of the best things that we can do as this generation that we have here today. I'll close with